Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, I got to be quick with this one. Florida Man was charged with flushing a lady's fish down the toilet. Cape Coral. Florida man is facing several charges, including battery, grand theft, and flushing a woman's fish down the toilet. According to Cape Coral police, Brett Austin Dahl, tattoos all over his face, is facing those charges based on two separate investigations. Apparently, he spit on the woman's vehicle, hit her left arm, and apparently grabbed her betta fish and flushed it down the toilet. And now he's in all kind of trouble. So you can't be doing that to no, can't be stealing no lady's fish and flushing them down the toilet. Florida man was accused of stealing a mattress from Walmart. That's not really anything easy to conceal. You know, maybe aim lower next time. Kurt Clark, with an I, is arrested and charged with grand theft, two counts of petty theft, driving with, oh, he had a lot of charges. Speaking of greed, I'm going to turn my attention for a minute to the one group, I guess, that's still trying to squat on their college campus. This is in Denver. Everybody has their list of demands, and the camp collective in Denver. So you have the college kids. Now it's like turning into illegal immigrants. So in Denver, they've kind of morphed into one thing. They've got a bunch of illegal immigrants in an unauthorized encampment, and now they're also flying the Hamas flag. What? Yeah. So while you have the college kids doing all this stuff, now you have these illegal, literal, actual illegal immigrants in an unauthorized encampment in Denver who refuse to go to a shelter, and they've been flying the Hamas flag or the Gazan flag in Denver. And they had a list of demands. The city said that they needed to move. They said at least go under a bridge. They were going to fund the moving them. Denver Human Services was trying to get them into shelters, and the illegal immigrants said no. And the city says, well, we're going to continue to offer services to illegal immigrants who choose the shelter over encampments. And so they sent a list of demands to the city in order for them to, I guess, move. This was their demands they said in order for them to go to the shelter, quote, they will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients instead of pre-made meals, rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, and people will not be punished for bringing in and eating outside food. Shower access will be available without time limits and can be accessed whenever. We're not in the military. We're civilians. You're not American civilians. You're literally illegal aliens. You have no citizenship and no claim here. They said medical professional visits will happen regularly and referrals and connections for specialty care will be made as needed. Like, who pays for that? They said all will receive the same housing support that has been offered to others. Who pays for that? They said there has to be a clean, just process before exiting someone for any reason. They said all shelter residents, again, literal, actual illegal aliens, which is a legal term, will receive connection to employment support, including work permit applications, consultations for each person, family, with a free immigration lawyer. They said that must be arranged to discuss their cases. And then the city has to provide ongoing legal support, including transportation, by the way. They said the city will provide privacy for families in the shelter. No more. They said the staff, they don't want the staff speaking to them. No sheriff sleeping inside and no monitoring. We're not criminals and we won't be treated as such. You literally entered the country illegally. So by that very definition, you are. They want free transportation for their kids that they brought in illegally to and from schools. They're not allowed to separate families. It doesn't matter if the kids don't have the same names or they can't prove that the kids are the children of the adults. Great for child trafficking. And, I mean, this is all the demands that they have. I think they should get their happy asses back to wherever they immigrated illegally from, personally. But this is the list of demands that they sent out to Denver. Can you imagine going to Jamaica, going to any country beautiful subtropical country, you know, where a lot of people go for vacation, maybe Mexico, maybe Dominican Republic, maybe Puerto Rico, maybe Jamaica, TCI, wherever, Antigua, and just squatting somewhere and then issuing a list of demands like this. I need free housing, free medicine. I need to be provided with free, culturally appropriate foods.
Unlimited showers.
Yeah, unlimited showers. Transportation, the whole night. Can you imagine? Oh, man. Kane, what did you just put in Slack? Go ahead and say that last one.
The last one?
Mm-hmm.
I think Colorado imported a bunch of coyotes and wolves for their conservation just recently. They approved it, and I think they shipped them in. And I think I know where at least a few of those wolves and coyotes could go. Maybe this encampment.
Stretch their legs, you know?
Yeah. Just get out there and, you know, see the world. Let these wolves and the coyotes get
don't
out
fence
there.
Fence them in, bro.
And just be wolves and coyotes. Just let them be themselves.
Let them be themselves, right? I'm saying, you know, think of the wolves and coyotes. That's right. Oh, man. Is that not greed, though? Can you imagine going into another country and being so rude as to do? What are you told as an American tourist? Like, don't act like, you know, don't, because there's this, I don't know, I guess, like, stereotype that Americans are brash and loud and aggressive, and that's considered, like, a faux pas if you're not polite, if you're in, like, a lot of these other nations, or particularly European nations. But why do Americans get, Americans wouldn't do this to anybody else's country. But this is acceptable? Try this in Ireland. Well, Ireland was allowing it for a while, but then the people got mad. Try this in Italy right now. I mean, you have to be able, you can't even get into a hotel unless you prove that you, if you don't, if you're not an Italian, you have to literally show them your passport before they will allow you to assume a room. And you have to carry your documents on your person. And if you get stopped by one of their police and you don't have it, they can totally cart your butt to jail. And it can't be a copy of the documents. Don't believe the people who tell you that. That's a lie. For real. But here, you can make a list of demands. I would like free fresh produce, wouldn't we all? Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K. This is a great 9mm carbine, and if you have not gotten yours yet, you definitely should. The Sub-2K Gen 3 is shipping, has been shipping now for a while, and it folds in half with a single twist and fold motion in either direction. You don't have to attach and reattach and detach your favorite optics anymore. The previous iterations you did, you don't have to with this Gen 3. It takes Glock 19 mags, it fits flush. Glock 17 stick mags also fit with a mag extending past the grip. They have a redesigned mechanics on the trigger, so you get a lighter 5-pound pull. The action's updated, the operating handle easier to rack, internal buffer, softer recoil. It's a great carbine, and quality, very innovative, the performance, and it's super affordable. It's Kel-Tec's Sub-2K Reed Sub 2000 Gen 3. Easy to store, easy to deploy, great accuracy, fun on the range and everywhere else. From Kel-Tec, made in America, family owned, based in Florida. To learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So AstraZeneca is pulling its Rona vaccine from the European market. But why not the U.S. market? Right? Why wouldn't they pull it from the U.S. market? According to the Associated Press, AstraZeneca pulling that, the injections, the clot shot. They requested that the European authorization be pulled, according to the EU medicines regulator. It was in the European Medicines Agency's website on Wednesday of this week, yesterday. And they said that the approval for the AstraZeneca Vaxzervia had been withdrawn at the request of the marketing authorization holder. That they got, because they got doubts. So why not the U.S.? Why not that? And aren't we still mandating it for people to come in the country? The same. So they're trying to say that fish are shrinking. I'm waiting for Joe Biden to say that it's because of fish greed. But apparently they're trying to make this to be about climate change with shrinking fish. There's a lot of overfishing is not climate change. And there has been a lot of overfishing in different parts of the world, and that's ultimately, they keep trying to tack on climate change is like every, but that's not any part of it. And it's cyclical too, because when the overfishing stops and they pull back, then the fish grow. I mean, good heavens, are we seriously this stupid? everything's that, you know, the medieval claim of climate change. Neuralink's first brain chip implant in a human has appeared to go pretty flawlessly. But there's a problem. The number of implants of the implant's threads came out, according to this MSN piece. There's one problem, though. Neuralink encountered a problem. It was Nolan Arbaugh who was the first recipient, the first human patient. It reduced the amount of data that it could capture from his brain, and some of the data was lost because the implant's threads that were placed in his brain came out. And it wasn't disclosed immediately why some of the threads retracted unexpectedly. Neuralink posted about the situation after the Wall Street Journal asked about the issue. And they said that they think it might be that air was trapped inside the skull after surgery. And that's a condition that's not totally uncommon. And they said that it hasn't appeared to pose a risk to him. He's a quadriplegic since 2016, since a car accident. But they said that they're floating, maybe removing it, maybe replanting it. So I can't even imagine, like, the gosh, doing that. And the threads came out. Her purported Las Vegas alien video is unaltered, says an expert. I could have told you this. So you guys remember this? Okay, do you remember? We played this, like, right when it happened. Y'all remember the video of the people who were, like, in their backyard, and they said that there were two beings back there. And so this dude who works with video analysis said there's no editing. This is an original video. We tried to debunk it, and because the Kenmore family called 911. They said something that is not human is in our yard. We play that call. And now they're like, it looks legit. Aliens. You're telling me. I am, like, super excited about aliens. See, that's not boring. Everything else is boring. One of the academic institutions where you will not see people engaging in the pup tent intifada. And over at Hillsdale, this is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. They're all about the pursuit of truth, defense of liberty, founded to offer the education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. Now, they offer a lot of free stuff in that you don't have to go to their campus in southern Michigan to take advantage of what they have to offer. They have, for instance, this free speech digest that they send out every month. It's called Imprimis. And they do deep dives with leading conservative thinkers on issues that really affect you. The one that I think is the most terrifying is the one that they highlight this month, which is the American Medical Association declaring that medicine is just too rife with racism. And as a result, they have to lower the standards on medical school entrance tests, which is racist in and of itself. So instead of declaring that minority medicinal practitioners can meet the standard, they're saying they can't, so they're going to lower it. Now, that is actually racism. And this is happening in other fields as well. And this is what Imprimis explores. It's free. There's no cost or obligation to get it. They produce and mail it at Hillsdale as part of their educational mission on behalf of liberty. So sign up for your free subscription today at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. You know, I was going to play the Justified theme coming into this segment. But I'm like, you know, the Man in Black seems to suit the legendary Nick Searcy the best. And so I had to play one of my favorite Johnny Cash tracks for him coming in. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can find us terrestrially in hundreds of markets. Listen, stream the radio show, Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, X, everywhere else. Nick Searcy doesn't really need a lot of introduction. He's in one of my favorite television series, Justified, although I haven't started the new one, which came out. I think it was July last year, but I've watched the original one, and I love his character of Art Mullen. He is such an acerbic smartass in that. I love that character, but he's done so many great films, and he's the type of guy who has made a career for himself where he can say what he wants and do what he wants, and people respect his body of work enough where they're like, all right, we're not going to say anything to you. Not many people in Hollywood have that. And then if you still try to mess with him, he'll beat you over the head with his Peabody. And he joins us now via Skype. Nick Searcy, congratulations. You got a new book that is out that gets into some of what we were just talking about. It's called Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. And it comes out later this month. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dana. It's good to see you again. As you can see, I'm like now portraying an intelligent author of a book. So this is my costume I have on.
You don't need a costume. That's who you are. You wear mini hats. That's who you are. So this book, you get into because you have one of the most interesting careers, and you are unashamedly honest about your political beliefs. I mean, I don't know anyone else who could actually tell the story of what is happening with these people who have been persecuted and prosecuted following J6 with the film you did or the Gosnell film that you also did, and be so honest and transparent with it. And then you're still, like, you know, making hits in television and in film. How is that possible? That's what I mean, because everyone else gets canceled but you.
I don't really understand it either, Dana. I mean, maybe they don't know who I am. Maybe they don't listen to alternative media, so they don't hear me talking anywhere. But I'm not sure why. I'm sure there are certain people in Hollywood that say, no, we don't want to work with that guy. But I get enough work. I mean, I've got a Netflix series coming out next year with Nicole Kidman that I have a nice little role in. And I'm actually releasing a sequel to Capital Punishment on May 17th. Mm-hmm. Called The War on Truth, which is, continuing to tell the story of how the January 6th people have been treated.
And that, I just got to touch on that, because when you look at what's happening on the college campuses and the vandalism and the broken windows, and I watched many videos from these campus riots across the country where they're screaming at cops, like racial slurs at police officers. And these are like white Hamas supporters. Nothing with those people. But then if you're walking past the Capitol on January 6th, you're thrown into jail and your life's ruined.
Yeah. Well, the protesters on college campuses are protesters that this government supports. They want those protests to happen because those protests are tearing down the fabric of American society. And the people who went to Washington on January 6th believe in the Constitution and believe in America. Those are the biggest enemies to this administration, people who love America.
I think that's a fair point because, I mean, you can tell by the legal prosecution that effort as well. You in Capital Punishment, in this movie that you did, which was really powerful, and there was a lot of stuff in there that I was even unaware of in following this. I was amazed by some of the justification for charges that were given in a way to go after these people. I mean, they went after grandmothers. There were three grandmothers in jail, like people who saw all these people going in and security, Capitol security, waving them in. And they would go in and they were all very polite looking around and then they left. And then the next thing they know, they get unlawful parading or some kind of charge that they try to ratchet up to a felony. And this affected hundreds of people.
Yes, and it's continuing to happen. They've arrested more people this year already than they arrested last year because they're continuing to go after people. They've run out of people that actually went inside, and Matthew Graves, the district attorney, announced that they're going to start going after people who just were standing around outside because, according to him, they had already entered a restricted area. And in our movie, The War on Truth, you can see the people removing the signs. Before the people walk from the Ellipse to the Capitol, they're taking down all the signs that say you're entering a restricted area, stay out. So these people didn't know that they were entering a restricted area. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah. How does that not factor into the prosecutorial decision with us? That's what I don't get. I mean, it's like deliberate.
Well, because the point of this is not justice. They're not trying to do something to bring justice to these people. What they're doing is sending a message and saying, if you resist us, this is what will happen to you. Do you see what we're doing to these people? Keep your mouth shut no matter what we do, or we'll do this to you.
Why did you choose to tell these stories in this film?
Well, I was there myself on January the 6th, and what I saw there that day didn't match anything that I saw in the media. So that's what started me on the journey of talking to these people. And the more I talked to them, the more outraged I got and the madder I became. And I said, this is not right. Nobody's telling these people's stories. The media is not telling these people's stories. The media, in fact, demonizes these people and ruins their reputations in their neighborhoods, and their businesses get closed. They lose their jobs. They can't be employed. They're literally trying to ruin these people. And so I just felt like nobody else is doing that. I want to tell these people's stories.
Yeah. And I don't think that they would be widely known had you not done this. We're talking with our friend Nick Searcy. If you're listening to the radio program or if you're watching, you can see him on the simulcast. It's similar to how they did, how they treated activists with the Tea Party. And I'm always, I don't know why I'm amazed, but the way that they'll look at, they treat Antifa or Burn Loot Murder, or now even the college protesters, those protesters, by way of their political persuasion and affiliation, they're virtuous. Their protests, Nick, are virtuous. If they break windows, it's a virtuous cause. You know, it's the, what was it, the cries of the unheard, I think is how one judge characterized one of these BLM rioters. But with everyone else, they're the terrorists. And and I don't think that that's playing well in the minds of the public anymore, do you?
No, it's not playing well. But what we have to realize is that totalitarian societies are never established by a majority. There is a minority of people that take power and then they use the media to propagandize everybody and terrorize everybody and intimidate them into accepting whatever comes. So that's why these protests are happening now. The people that are protesting on campuses now are the same people that protested at BLM, same people that did Occupy Wall Street all years ago. It's the same people. They're trying to make America unsafe so that the only source of any sort of safety is the government.
When you speak on these issues and you do these projects and then you go and you do your work, I'm so curious as to how you're received. How, I mean, because you're Nick Searcy and everyone's like, he's that guy. He's that crazy patriotic terrorist.
You know, I got to say, they act like they don't know. When I'm on the set, nobody speaks to me about that. It's like, hey, how you been? You know, whatever, you know, it's like when I guest hosted for Rush Limbaugh long ago, I was really worried about what that would do to my career. And my friend Adam Baldwin said, they won't even know you did it. Limbaugh, just don't tell anybody. They won't even know. And I think that might be what's happening. I don't know. I'd never get confronted. I never have.
Yeah.
Might happen to this, but I never have.
How did I, because you played a chief U.S. Marshal in Justified, and then you're watching law enforcement with regards to J6. I'm just curious, like your portrayal and it as a U.S. Marshal and, you know, figure of authority, and then, you know, exploring this in the film, and then of course the sequel to this that you have coming out on May 17th. How did one inform the other? Like, how is there a relationship there? Like, did that help you in terms of how you were approaching organizing these stories and showcasing them for people?
Well, yeah, in a way, I guess it did. I've played a lot of cops. A lot of, over the years, there's been an awful lot of cops because, you know, I'm not the leading man. So if you're not the guy kissing the girl, you're either the cop.
You're the leading man in the scenes that you're in, though.
Right. Well, I'm a leading man trapped in a character actor's body. That's what happens. That's what I go into in the book. You know,
but, look at that book cover.
But yeah, I it did inform me in a way. And mostly in the way that I was shocked at the way these real life policemen are acting, because it's like that would never fly in Justified. That would never fly for my character to be doing the things that these people are doing, because what the FBI is doing is basically terrorizing peaceful citizens. They're breaking down their doors at 6 a.m. People that have never been arrested for anything before in their lives. They're treating them like they're about to blow the world up. And none of it makes any sense, except when you accept that it's deliberate, that they're doing this on purpose to intimidate.
When I first watched Capital Punishment and I was following some of these cases, it didn't surprise me to see the abuse so much by some members of law enforcement after what happened. I don't know if you're familiar with what happened in Wisconsin after the recall of Scott Walker. Yeah. When they were showing up in the middle of the night to these innocent people, no criminal record. They just happened to help with the recall effort. And they were dragging them out in the front lawn at 3 a.m. And the media just happened to be tipped off. And they happened to be there and were able to snap pictures of the wife in her nightgown and the terrified kids. When I first saw that happening in Wisconsin, that shocked me. I think that was, I don't want to sound naive, but that seemed like, wow, our law enforcement, our federal law can do that. And then when I was watching your movie, I'm like, of course they can. So like the span of time that I went from being completely naive to, you know, that I was like, of course they can do that. I'm not surprised. That's a quick timeline, though. But has it always been that way, or has it been that way recently? More so recently.
I think it's been revealed recently. I think it's been that way for a while. And I think that this has been a long march through the institutions of our country. They have corrupted every institution that I can think of, the education system, Hollywood, the military. They've corrupted it all. And you know, by now it's the COVID vaccine stuff helped them drum out anybody in their ranks that was going to resist them. So now you have an FBI that is pretty much just a tool of the Democrat Party that's in charge, or the Uniparty, whatever it is. There's some of the Republicans are just as bad.
Yeah. And the two tiers of justice. We were just talking about this New York case a little bit ago, and how, you know, you can have a particular charge that exceeds, you know, past the statute limitations. But yet Alvin Bragg decides to fabricate this straw man out of another charge. It really isn't a charge. I mean, if this really can happen to anyone. And then you have Hunter Biden that can walk scot-free away from, you know, felonious activity with a firearm while he's coked out with strippers. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's what you see in our movie, is like this is happening to your friends and neighbors, normal people that you go to church with, that, you know, your kids go to school with. And it can happen to anyone. They can target anyone because, like you just said, the justice side of it doesn't matter. What matters is, what side are you on? Are you on their side? Or are you against them?
This, your book, Justify This, A Career Without Compromise, which comes out May 28th. And of course, in the sequel to Capital Punishment, which comes out, and that's CapitalPunishmentTheMovie.com is the website. That comes out on May 17th.
Actually, the movie is now called The War on Truth.
It's, the War on Truth. Yes.
WarOnTruthMovie.com. Yeah.
WarOnTruthMovie.com. I have not read your book yet. And I always like, whenever I have people on, especially somebody like you, I like to support. So I like to buy, you know, the book and maybe buy some to, you know, give to some folks. Tell us a story about you that we have never heard before. Cause I feel like I've read a lot about you, and I feel like I've, you know, I could probably, you know, I got some story, but tell me something that nobody knows.
Well, I'm not sure if nobody knows. It's probably little known, but I had a run in with Sean Penn that was pretty interesting that I go into in the book. Where I did a couple of things with Sean Penn. I did a movie with him, and we were sort of friends, you know, we were kind of acquaintances. But at one point, you know, somebody, I guess, told him about my political leanings, and he wrote me a pretty nasty email. And I wrote him back and sort of said, you know, I was kind of nice. I said, you know, I disagree with you, but, you know, I respect you as an actor. I had a great time in the movie with you, and, you know, whatever. And he wrote me back saying, you know, why did you even accept the role, you know, knowing what my politics were? And I don't give a damn about your respect. And so I kind of I wound up telling him to congratulations on your Oscar. And, you know, maybe you can take that thing and shove it up your ass.
I was getting ready to say, where's that Nick Searcy? Where's that Nick Searcy response? I'm waiting for it. One last thing. I saw that you left California, and you moved to America. And it looks beautiful where you're at. How much are you loving life right now, not being in Hollywood?
It's so nice, and it's so different. And the thing I tell people, the most different thing about it is the quality of the people and how nice and helpful they are. I mean, and I think that's because most of the people here where I am are happy. The people in California are so annoyed and so bitter and miserable and overtaxed and, you know, the traffic and everything. It's like people here are pretty pleasant. They're pretty happy.
Yeah, there you are. Nick Searcy, the book. Awesome. Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. That is out May 28th. And War on Truth, the movie as well. .com. That's May 17th. And congratulations, as always. And thank you for not just the entertainment that you provide, but also the advocacy as well, and bringing your talent to tell the stories of these people who are persecuted and unheard. We're grateful. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.